You're listening to Star Wars Hangout.
The best Star Wars Hangout in the galaxy. Hey, Star Wars fans, welcome back to Star Wars Hangout. I'm Ez.
And I'm Lonnie.
And friends, we are back with The Mandalorian, Season 3, Episode 1, The Apostate.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning, America.
Well, it is 4:30 in the morning, and we are recording this right after watching The Mandalorian. It was great.
Oh, I had so much fun watching it.
Right? It was actually really good. I was worried because of the runtime. So here's what we're going to do. If you're new here, by the way, we do a spoiler breakdown. We're going to do a little non-spoiler talk, and then we're going to jump into some of the Easter eggs we found, the review, the discussion, all of that. But in general, I'm pumped.
Good.
Highly pumped, actually. So it's almost like everyone's been waiting for it. Like, it was, I think, 2:00 in the morning. I rolled over and I saw that Star Wars had tweeted that sorry, 3:00 in the morning, and they were like, "It is time." I'm like, oh my gosh, let's go.
What a way to wake up.
Yeah. Just excited, really excited to be covering this again. And, you know, season one was great. Season two is awesome. They're doing things that just sort of take us to another level in Star Wars. And not in like a major way. Like, we're just sort of exploring. We're learning more about the galaxy, about Mandalorians and so on. Grogu is back, by the way, in case you didn't know that. Uh-huh. So we'll get into all those questions here in a little bit. But yeah, initial thoughts. So it's just how did you feel? Non-spoiler stuff. Mm-hmm. Just how did you feel in general about watching the first episode?
Yeah, it's cute. It's fun. We get reintroduced to a lot of characters again, and just kind of like catch up what's been happening on Navarro. And
yeah,
it's really, really cool. Like, great entry, great start to the season.
Yeah. Yeah, good feels. So, okay, let's get into some of the Easter eggs, and we're going to get into all the different things that happened. I'm going to give you guys kind of a rundown, a summary, so we're definitely into spoiler territory and all that good stuff. So, here we go. Essentially, this bad boy starts off with the armorer, and we heard, as you're going into it, like it sounded like something was being forged.
When
they did the intro?
Instead of the typical intro they play,
yeah,
they did the forge.
The forging, right. Yeah. And you can hear that in the background. You know, they typically flash a bunch of droids and different characters up as you're leading in. So sort of their new intro. You could hear the armor back there working. And I was like, whoa. Yeah. I instantly was sort of like, what are they going to do? Are they going to tell us something about the armor like out the gate? Because it's been a big mystery. We have no idea who the armor is. Is she connected back to someone that Bo-Katan knows?
Mm-hmm.
What might be? And then she's working on a Mandalorian helmet. It's awesome. I know the Mandalorian mercs out there are probably losing their minds. Like, they actually probably, when we see the behind the scenes, a lot of those individuals who were out there in costume, they might have been actual people in the Mandalorian mercs, like fans and stuff. They've pulled them before.
Awesome.
So,
yep.
Yeah, I just feel like it was a great way to kind of start. And you said something interesting. So as we're going to walk you through the episode here, but like out the gate, we get a ceremony that never actually completed itself. It was interrupted by what looked like in the concept art a snapping turtle, but was actually turned out to be an alligator. So that was kind of a rude intrusion. But that never finished. So, okay, we have that. Then we go to like a cool reference in hyperspace. We get to Navarro. We go back and we meet IG-11. Try to, anyways.
Mm-hmm.
We meet some pirates who are going to show up later. We meet Babu Frick's people, right? The droid builders. Then we go to see Bo-Katan at the end of this.
Yep. So. It felt a little bit like video gamey, like side quests after side quests after side quests. To finish the big quest, we have to go on different side quests.
Yeah. And you even got a little bit of the time of like walking around the spaceport Navarro, going around, seeing different individuals.
Oh, that was cool.
That was awesome, right?
That was awesome, yeah.
They just showed off a little bit in terms of the set design, the costumes, and Navarro is prospering.
Yeah.
So I don't want to get his name wrong. So we have High Magistrate
Karga.
Yeah, we got to get this right. I kept saying Greef Karga, and you're like, no, it's High Magistrate Cargo. We got to get this right. He wants to be called his, he wants to be given his due. So, but yeah, so Mando, okay, let's back up a little bit. I'm all over the place because I'm like so excited. I'm so hyped, which is wild. The beginning ceremony. So with the whole stuff with the Mandalorians, this is the Children of the Watch, and they are a religious cult. They are clearly have recruited more individuals because when we saw them in the Book of Boba Fett, it was just the two. Yeah. And Din Djarin shows up and he's trying to find them. It's just those two. He then reveals that his helmet was taken off of his own free will. He fights them with the Darksaber. They say you need to go bathe in the living waters, right, in the mines of Mandalore. So that is what he has to do. It was almost like they had hit this whole moment to sort of show, okay, they're rebuilding their numbers. They have new foundlings, perhaps, or younglings that they are making armor for. You got the ceremony. They're standing in the water when they do that, which was kind of interesting. So the only way that you could be redeemed would be to go back to some sort of water.
So how could you can only be redeemed in the original waters, but you can be crowned or not crowned, but like the ceremony can be in a different.
You
kind
can
of
be
water,
brought into the way exactly. It's they're making up their own rules. I mean, quite honestly, and Bo-Katan is sick of it. By the end of it, she's sort of like that kind of. Bullcrap is what is fractured our people. And those of us that have been around for a long time and have watched Star Wars, we saw the Clone Wars. We know what happened there. We know what Satine was trying to do in Bo-Katan. They had different beliefs and things, I guess, agendas for the planet Mandalore. At one point, they're an independent system trying to be very peaceful and stay out of all the different conflict. So, yeah, but their ancient history is more of this way of the warrior sort of thing, the way of the of Mandalore. So, and now we've got the Darksaber back in. It's just like, but the ceremony was interesting to see a little bit more of their culture and what they are trying to do with their with their people. So
they had me fooled. I thought,
yeah, you thought that was a flashback.
Yes, I thought it was a flashback of Din and his ceremony. And then I was like, he never said it. He never said.
Right. He never said. He never said that he wouldn't take it off. Yeah.
But yeah. Also, this kid. I felt bad because if he never can take his helmet off, how is he going to cut his hair ever?
You were like, And then I said, so remember, they, let me see if I can find the young actor for Din Djarin. And I'll show this to you because, so they did show a brief glimpse of him. And I'm going to show this to Lottie here. So this was him when he was being carried by his mother and father away from the droids that were attacking.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. So there's actually going to be a lot of, I told Lottie to ask as many questions as she wants so we can sort of do a little recap on season one, season two, things that happened. But yeah, that was a cool flashback where you learned why he was afraid of droids because they killed his parents. I mean, they attacked. This was during the Clone Wars time. The Separatists and their droid army show up and then a group of Mandalorians save him and they rescue him and he is a foundling. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know if we know too much more about, like, his family and his where he was from and why, because he's a foundling, he's been adopted into this way, if that makes sense. Whereas, like, Bo-Katan will say she has been born into her family, and this armor had been in her family for years. Because when he first meets her, right, you'll remember that she takes her helmet off, and he was like, you're not a Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And it's like, hold on a second, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
We all know she's been a Mandalorian her whole life.
Yeah.
So now you've got this group where they're bringing in younglings like we saw today, and they're telling them from the start, this is the way.
Yeah.
There is no other way. Those other Mandalorians are false. The ones who take their helmets off and who don't do XYZ, they are false. Mm-hmm. So it gets into like an interesting, I don't know, like a idea that, I mean, growing up in religion, we're told, hey, that one group there, although they're Baptist, right? They don't baptize like we baptize. So they're not legit.
It's crazy.
Hey, and the Protestants versus the Catholics, which I know I'm going to take off a lot of people here, but like, hey, they're Catholic. Look, that ain't the way, all right? Or Catholics are like, look, got to do it this way. Otherwise, you ain't getting there.
And I love, that's crazy. you know, you know people from different religions. You love all of them. For me, coming from a very different background, it was very hard to understand, and not to get too far into the religious.
No, it's a part of this. It's a big discussion.
But for me, it was so hard to understand why, they're all Christians, but why do they almost like
so many
get after each other?
Right, and there's
this is not right what you're doing.
Exactly. Yeah. So to relate it back to what Bo-Katan says at the end, all of the different subgroups have fractured who we really are as a people.
Yeah.
And or you know, does it make us more, I don't know, diverse, unique, whatever?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's just sort of a little bit of a parallel that I drew from some of that to our real world stuff, you know, which is kind of crazy. So anyways, let's talk about the huge freaking alligator that showed up out there. I think it was massive.
I know.
I don't know if we have a name for that or what that is yet, but it was huge. It had like a shelled back too. And you saw at the end of the episode, the concept art for it was more of a turtle-like individual, like a snapping turtle.
Blastoise.
Yeah, which I was okay. Well, Pokemon?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Okay.
I've been thinking about Pokemon the whole time.
That's awesome. Yeah. What if you started renaming some of the alien or like creatures in this after Pokemon? That'd be kind of cool. Anyway, because I don't know anything about Pokemon, but bless you for doing that. They were, but I actually like the snapping turtle idea more.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they went with the alligator thing.
Yeah.
But more people would be probably more afraid of the alligator, I think.
Probably.
Because my fears were definitely like, I was like, oh God, I'm just exactly why I never go in water.
Yeah.
That kid was just standing in knee high water and almost got like eight. So there ain't no way. I mean, I'm sorry. This is why when I go to Florida, I tell my cousin down there all the time, I'm like, he's like, let's go hang out in this lake. I'm like, yeah, right. No, there's like alligators in there, or gators or whatever they're, I don't know, crocs or which one they are. But that was scary. And Din Djarin shows up with Grogu.
Oh, yeah. What an entry.
To save the day. Yeah.
What an entry.
It's huge. So, okay. After that, though, so he has a conversation with the armor, which was pretty cool, where they talk about this fused glass or this fused script. I keep calling it glass, but there's some script on there, and it had been fused, and they talked about fusion rays, and basically the armor kind of sees that as confirmation as to everything that she's been saying, which is like, yeah, it's been destroyed. It's poisoned. There's no going back. We can't, you know, we can't go back there and make a home of that. So, and you know, if she were there and saw the destruction and maybe lost a lot of people there, and it has, you would never want to go back maybe. Right. Or you would tell everybody that it's a place where you will only find death. And no one's really going to investigate it. Maybe it's calmed down over all these years. Yeah. Maybe they've gone back a couple times and it hasn't been great. Because at the end, Bo-Katan's like, almost like, goodbye, Din Djarin. You're going there. You're going to die. You'll die of poison.
Yeah, both of them, the armor and Bo-Katan, are both like, nah. They've given up on Mandalore. They don't want to get their hopes up.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, that's true. I think they also, too, are... I mean, both of them almost kind of said goodbye to Din Djarin because they believe that he's going to his death.
I know, but Din says somebody retrieved this and
exactly lived the Jawas.
To give it to one of the Jawas.
Bless those little Jawas. What they are always popping up and just in the mix of things.
They don't
know
how important they are.
They're just wheeling and dealing, making some, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, okay, so anyways, that was a cool conversation, and she basically says, go for it. Grogu's sitting there looking at her like, what's up? Now, one of the coolest things I think in the entire episode, and you noticed it right away, and we instantly were like, jaw-dropping moment. They're in hyperspace.
Oh, my God.
And the Purrgil show up. A lot of them. One at first.
Is this a reference to Ezra?
Ezra Bridger, baby. Let's go. He's out there. He could be riding on one of those Purrgil right now. Like looking over at Grogu. Grogu, I felt like, could sense them too.
Oh, 100%, yes.
And that's why. Could almost look and see. So that was really, really cool that they did that. Because we've never really seen that in live action, obviously. But we've never seen... Even in, I'm trying to think, in animation, like to be able to see through the hyperspace lane or I guess as you're traveling through like the, I don't know what you even call it. I guess as you're traveling through hyperspace to look off through that curtain of hyperspace and see them traveling as well. Because you're going so fast that they would have to be traveling the same speed as you for you to see that. It was awesome. Actually.
It was jaw-dropping moment.
Yeah. So that was cool.
Yeah, I have it in front of me right now, and Grogu.
It's like, beautiful, isn't it? It's actually really good. They've got all, yeah, he's looking around. You have all the different, I think it was this point, no, it's later, where they'll come back to the cockpit and he starts talking about the navi computer and fuel and your range and how far you can go.
Yeah.
And
I
then
love
he's
that
like,
he teach it, starts
he's teaching him.
Yeah.
Yes. Father to son. Let's go. So cool.
I just had a really, really sad thought though.
Oh no.
Well.
Oh no.
Grogu,
what?
Grogu's going to outlive him so quickly. Like he's never going to see Grogu really as a
grown up, yeah.
Grown up, right?
Yeah, but this is, so for us, this is what I think the magic of this is that like, and this is why, for those of you that don't know, and you did not watch the Book of Boba Fett, there will be some spoilers here for that, by the way. Sorry, I mean, the whole spoiler is that Grogu's back with Din Djarin. Yeah. I mean, that's what happens in the Book of Boba Fett. So we have to talk about that a little bit because Luke Skywalker basically gives him a choice. He basically says, you can go back. And when he says that, he says, look, in your lifetime, like a blink of an eye to Grogu will be a lifetime to many beings.
Yeah.
So this is going to be, it's almost like you can train later. Yeah. This can all happen for you later. It doesn't need to be now.
Yeah.
But boy, was it awesome to see him with Master Luke.
Yeah.
And to have had a little bit of time and training with him.
Yes.
And then to go back to Din Djarin. And,
right.
and so in his youth, he's inspired by these individuals and knew
yes.
them. One is a teacher, one is his father.
Yeah.
It's great.
I mean, yeah, both are some kind of teachers. And he's like almost like half Jedi, half Mandalorian here.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We see him now. He has a little bit more control of over his force powers.
Exactly.
He just spins around in that chair of the High Magistrate.
Right, right. In the High Magistrate's
so
chair.
Get some candy.
Yeah. You know.
Anyway.
Okay. It was anyone who has been, and so we're taking Lottie to Star Wars Celebration at some point. She's going to see it virtually this year, but we're going to take her at some point. This moment here, where we're walking through Navarro,
oh.
and you just see droids, and you see people
oh,
in costumes,
I love it.
And you see.
Oh my goodness.
It's so awesome because that to me, I just literally looked at you and I was like, Star Wars Celebration right there. And what it reminded me of because things are decked out. There's artwork. There's this white C-3PO droid. There's even, that looks like R5 in the background there. I wonder if sometimes if they just use a droid that they already have and they don't exactly give us all of its markings. It's sort of blurred out in the background, but they're using a lot of droids and we see a lot of different alien creatures and so on.
Also,
so,
this one looks like
Gonky.
Gonky.
Yeah. There's a Gonk droid there, for sure. And you get like a reference to the Calamari are in here. So Admiral Akbar, right?
Yeah. I wonder how many cameos are in this introduction where, you know, like just lots of people walking by. And
and
that
this
could be something.
This is fun. So these are the ones that you'll see on YouTube quite a bit where people sort of stop and they are making... pointing out all the different references here to these droids, what's being written on the walls, and like the Kowakian monkeys. I'm trying to see what else I see here. But yes, there's just some really, really neat stuff. The school is still going. In season two, Grogu went to this school, and he was there. It's where he takes like the blue cookie, uses the Force to get the cookie, and then is there in Navarro for a second. So that's still going on. That's where the pirates try to come in, and they're like, this used to be a bar. This is a place where we can get a drink. And, well, there's kids in there. No one's even serving a drink in there. They're just there to cause trouble, which is crazy. So we have
music band.
Yeah. We had, like, this band out there playing and chilling, and that was pretty cool. So not as good as other – well, I mean, they were – who knows? They were just street performers. But okay, other things here. Yeah, the big one, I think, is we're in Navarro. The whole purpose of coming here is to get some aid, some support, stop in, see your old pal. And he's coming back here to get IG-11.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. He needs a droid.
Which makes sense, because if the surface is kind of inhabitable, where you can't really...
Mm-hmm.
Like, a droid could go and see without risking his
life.
That's
what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep, makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And they have the technology. They've already done something with IG-11 before.
Mm-hmm.
So I know people might be a little bit like, okay, come on. They're going back and they, you know, like you, I know there's going to be some gripes out there about like, well, the whole mission for season two was to like give Grogu over to Luke and then we get him back. Well, yeah, he came back to you. Fine, that's whatever. That's real life. That happens.
Yeah.
And then you have Then you have IG-11, and you would think there's no way you can bring him back. That's what Star Wars does. Yeah. Darth Maul was cut in half, and they were like, let's bring him back. You know what I mean? Like, okay, so you can definitely bring a droid back. Like, that's no problem. And you're right. I think he's gonna need IG-11 later on, and that's exactly why he did that. So, yes, we get talk a little bit about Cara Dune, okay? Yeah. Because when they go up to the magistrate's office, the high magistrate's office, he wants him to be the new marshal. That Cara Dune has been recruited for special forces, so she's no longer there. That helps us explain why her absence is felt here, and so he wants Din to take over. And he's like, "Look, I got business to do first. I can't do that." So that was because she was in the first two seasons and definitely is a part of this cast and crew that we all remember and know about. So they needed to kind of come up with an idea as to where she is.
Yeah.
And she's just been recruited into special forces, which
also makes sense. It's
she's good.
Believable. Yeah.
Very believable. She's really, she's honestly really good at what she does. So let me see here. What else can happen? Oh, then we get alerted about the pirates. We go down there. And all I wanted to mention with them is that you have, what is his name? You have Gorian Shard, the pirate captain.
Yeah.
That's who they worked for. One of his like lieutenant guys is Vane, this individual who's there out front, the Nikto, who's talking to us. And you had a Trandoshan, you had a Clatoonian, Nikto, just a mix of different alien
species.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which was pretty neat. So glad they did that. Greef has still got a quick draw. He pulled that fast and shot his hand, which is a warning shot.
Yeah.
Okay, hey, I'm going to shoot that gun out of your hand.
Yeah.
I didn't shoot to kill. So, I mean, bug off. And they didn't.
Yeah.
And hey, sorry, now I had to put you down. I mean, come on.
Can I say something about this pirate encounter?
Yeah.
This was, it felt a tiny bit forced. Like, someone wants to talk to you. He goes down there. He has no, like, he's the high magistrate, but he has no, like, guardians or
no
bodyguard.
Security.
Nothing.
Yeah,
just goes down and pirates...
He don't
standing
need
in
him.
Front of a school. That's okay.
He don't need,
give you
he
that.
Is that. I'm just kidding. I'm just like, I like playing him up. It's sort of like he's...
Yeah.
He's on another level.
Yeah. No, man. Yeah. I give you that. That's true. But it felt a little bit like, and I say this in a positive way, because I used to watch like Pokemon. That's why I said
it. Yeah. Yeah.
It kind of made me think of like Pokemon where like Team Rocket shows up in front of this Pokemon school. And
oh, yeah.
You got to go fight them with your Pokemon.
Are you saying Team Rocket is Gorian Shard and his people? Is that what you're saying? Like, they're the new, that's our Team Rocket element.
They were not trying to steal Grogu yet, but you know how Team Rocket wants Pikachu all the time.
Exactly. I actually wouldn't be surprised, though, if Gorian and his crew show up throughout this season, right? Because you've got him cast and you have his ship and you've done some work on him.
Yeah.
And it seems like they got away this time, but they're, Team Rocket's showing back up later.
Right.
Season, maybe episode 3, not every episode, but here and there, they're going to show up.
And if they learn about how valuable Grogu is, and there's still, people out there who want, to steal him from Din.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's still going to be a thing. I think, you're still going to have Moff Gideon, we were told, went back to essentially be interrogated and so on. That was a part of the Cara Dune conversation as well.
Yeah.
So yes, there's still going to be people out there looking for him. And what's neat is there is no New Republic protection for Din and for Grogu.
Yeah.
Even though Luke might be close with the New Republic and with Leia and everyone, they are trying to be independent. And that's what Greef talks about. Like, I don't want any of this New Republic oversight. We're trying to be an independent mining system, and we're going to, we're this trading sector, part of the Hydean Way. Lots of really cool references there, by the way. Yeah, so in general, Greef Karga doesn't want any New Republic oversight, and there's not a lot of protection.
Yeah.
And we're also in the Outer Rim, so you've got pirates. It makes sense.
And you need
protection
because this is such a prosperous planet now.
Well, I guess, part of what I was trying to drive to there was the fact that Grogu is this important. Luke knows this, but it's also Grogu's choice. It's like the New Republic's not going to come, I wonder how much they know about this asset that the Imperial Remnant are trying to acquire.
Yeah.
I bet you that's in their conversation, and we are going to see them at some point, maybe try to get involved and offer offer some sort of help and aid. I just don't know. And I don't really know how the Mandalorians are going to play into all of this. I think this whole season is about reforging their society, because you have a group of them, you have the fleet that is referenced at the end and all that good stuff. So yeah, we need to keep them in mind, I guess, as we move forward, because you've got to imagine that Moff Gideon has told them something or something under interrogation about what they're working on. Remember, we were watching season two again, and all those people that worked for Moff Gideon, like, they offed themselves because he said so, essentially. That one guy, when the, they're taking over the cargo, it was Bo-Katan was taking over the cargo, and once he realized that they had taken everything, he shoots the two captains and then ends himself. Just so they can't get him or any information or any access to Moff Gideon. So they're radical in a similar way to the Children of the Watch. That might be blasphemy to say that. I don't know. But that's another radical group that we have to watch and be looking out for.
Yeah.
And I think this is all driving towards Thrawn being in control of that group, by the way. So, yeah.
I
feel like
you.
I can say these things now, by the way. So folks who listen to this podcast now know that Lottie has watched Rebels, and we can make all the Ezra Bridger Thrawn references that we want because we're there. Okay.
I was going to ask you, what do you think? How high are the chances that we see another Rebels character throughout the Mandalorian?
So when we were going to that castle, had I not have already seen that castle before in the trailer and knew that we were getting to Bo-Katan, I would have been like, Sabine? Like, is she showing up? Are we going to go back
and
her family or something? That would be awesome. I think at some point we will. Maybe they're saving that stuff, I feel like, for the Ahsoka series.
Yeah.
But still, there will be some references to this because, you know, Mandalorian is their big show. It's the one that's going to be guiding us through the Mandoverse, as we're calling it. And you'll have these offshoot shows that you want to drop something in your main show that will lead people out to the Book of Boba Fett, to the Ahsoka series, and so on.
It was about two years back, they did
an investors call where they talked about, they shared all the different shows that were kind of coming out and that they were working on in this time period. And it's all relatively untouched. We know we have to get to episode 7, The Force Awakens, and we know Luke has to, you know, retreat from the Order, Ben Solo falls to the dark side, the whole nine yards. But all the things that happen in between there, you can have a whole war take place. You can have literally from the time that the Galactic Empire is formed until its ending is less than the gap. Is less in the amount of time between episode 6 and episode 7.
Okay.
So you could have a whole nother arc like that going on there.
Yeah,
now, it'd be kind of weird because they didn't reference something that major,
but
there are little sort of episodes, maybe like a five-year campaign by Thrawn to try to take over the New Republic. How far did he get? I feel like that's the stuff that we're driving towards, and it's freaking exciting.
It's
Babu freaking exciting is what it is. So, and mention it, by the way, I don't know if we got to that part or whatever, but the Enzelians or whatever they're called.
Oh, yeah, they're trying. Yeah.
They're trying to get IG-11 back.
Him back. So. And the problem is, well, they can awaken
him. Memory circuit or something, right? Yeah, they said.
Yeah, because he still thinks he has to kill Grogu.
That's right. He tried to kill Grogu. Yeah. Yeah. It went back to his old programming.
And they're just tossing Grogu around for a second.
Yeah. So. They're just tossing him around. Yeah, here, you take him. You take him. Yeah. Pretty crazy. So, yes. All right. Awesome. So that's sort of where we leave Navarro. We go out and there's an awesome fight scene between him and the pirates, which was really cool. Never trust a pirate.
That was really cool.
Yeah. It was really good.
And the music was perfect. Like, you know.
Yeah. The music's playing. They're flying
hiding
around.
In a, what is it? A meteor field?
Yeah. Asteroid field.
Asteroid field.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Right. They're flying around. That was sick. It was really cool. And then he's actually coming out of nowhere, just picking them off one by one. His ship is faster. Yeah. He's got the N1 starfighter, so really cool.
Yeah.
He comes face to face with Gorian Shard, and then boom, we're moving on. Goes to the castle, talks to Bo-Katan, and she is out. She is essentially done.
Her whole bot, like, she showed her whole demeanor is like, I don't care.
I don't care.
It's I've given up.
She's given up.
I don't
want
to do anything. You have the Darksaber, whatever. They will follow you.
Mm-hmm.
She's bitter.
Yeah, so when she didn't come back with that Darksaber, they basically were like, we're not following you then. If you can't if you could not recover that, and actually now the rumor is someone else got it. So who got it? This guy Din Djarin. He got it before me.
And now it's crazy that I've seen that Bo-Katan got the Darksaber from Sabine.
Yes, she was. So now you've seen that. You've seen that she was handed the Darksaber.
And she didn't fight for it.
And it was given to her. Therefore, it is not won in combat. Which sort of goes back to... Yeah, like the way of the Mandalore, yes, yes, and the Children of the Watch, yeah, and what they're establishing. So some of what they are saying, I feel like, is trickling into her group, and they're sort of like, maybe not all of their beliefs, like the helmet stuff, but some of it is sort of like, nah, you still should have won that in yeah, combat. Yeah. Like, I mean, that's still our thing. so, right. Does that make sense? So like, yeah, some of their beliefs are... not as strong and therefore are shared by both groups.
Right, right.
And then, but then one group has more radical beliefs that you have to kind of follow. Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, she comes back and she's out. The fleet is out there doing their own thing. She's like, go wave the Darksaber around. They'll follow whoever is waving that. Yeah. And actually, I think once she said that, it made me realize, oh, what they're probably going to do is get to a better understanding of what leadership is, not just anybody who holds this daggone sword.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who can come out on top and lead these people despite the sword? Yeah. That's actually what I think is going to be her arc and her role.
Yeah.
Is that this sword has sort of plagued her ability to roll and, to lead in her.
Yeah.
It's just been a thing for her. So I feel like now you're going to get somebody out there, maybe even the armorer or somebody down the line who gets the Darksaber. And they try to lead, and they lead them to catastrophe again. And it's going to be Bo-Katan who's going to save them.
Ooh,
and who's going to bring them back. I like to think ahead and try to. I'm always cool. Just making, yep, predictions and trying to theorize about where I think it's going to go. Because it was a great line where she's like, whoever waves that around, yeah, they're going to just, almost like it doesn't matter,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You wave it around, they're going to follow you, and that's just how it is. That's yeah, how simple we are. That's how, mm-hmm, we're not even really... valuing, we're not putting our values where they really should be. We're not really, mm-hmm, seeing who or what a true leader could be. It's like, yeah, you got the sword, so cool, you can lead. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of weak.
Yeah.
So that was cool to hear her say that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's where we leave it, friends. That is pretty much it. I mean, it was a great episode. Lots of cool stuff. Gorgeous episode, by the, mm-hmm, way.
Yeah.
Every shot was amazing. So just tons of really cool stuff in terms of this castle is awesome. The sets, the costuming, it was just like, we're back. We, yeah, are back in a major way, and it felt so, so good,
yes,
to be back here.
And we all know it. Grogu is adorable.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Sorry, I don't mention it enough, and Lottie will be sure to point out all the little Grogu moments, because no,
you can
we
roll
laugh.
Your eyes
we,
at
like,
that, but
he was doing this like little cooing, laughing thing when, yeah, they were like, whenever Din goes really fast.
I know,
it's exactly what a kid would do, which is like, yeah,
they don't get how serious the situation is. So
Dad's got,
yeah,
this fight stuff. Don't worry about it. We're gonna be fine. Yeah. He's got it. I mean, it's sort of the innocence of a child situation. And he's passing on a little tidbits there.
He squeezes and
oh, the Babu Frick guy. I'm just gonna call him
Enzelin.
Enzelin, yeah, yeah. Like, he grabs squeeze.
Yeah, you know, like kitty. You
like,
know
no,
how
like, no squeezy,
kids,
no squeezy. Yeah,
kids wouldn't squeeze the kitty cat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, and they don't know. They just wanna grab and hold and do their own, yeah, thing. And yeah, he totally thinks they're cute and wants to squeeze them, which is what we want to do.
I know.
So it's perfect. It's great. Gosh. Anyway, okay, so that is season 3, episode 1, chapter 17, The Apostate. It was great. It was fantastic, and really, really, really happy to be back in the Mandoverse, and I hope you guys are too. I think we're up early. We got to get to work here, but we wanted to get this out to you guys so you could get our initial thoughts and reactions, and this is also a way where we can kind of collect your guys' thoughts too, so it's our time to sort of say to you, come check out our other projects. Send us a message about your thoughts on this episode. We will be doing, I think, a follow-up episode with some of our patrons. I got to reach out to them today, probably on Saturday. We might try to go live, mm-hmm, do like a little hangout, see who's interested in doing a follow-up episode, because I'd like to post our initial thoughts and reactions and then get some of our patrons,
yeah,
some of our guest hosts. We also have a few guest hosts. Yeah, some experts, right, who we're bringing in. Yeah, into the hangout. So remember, in Star Wars Hangout, we're just chilling. We're not, what's the word? We're not on the Jedi Council. We're on what I call the Council of Elders, which is sort of like, if you go back to Return of the Jedi, it's just Logray and those guys saying, and they're, what are they really even saying? I don't know. That's kind of me sometimes when I'm rambling. But yeah, so we would like to bring in some actual Jedi Council members so they can educate us, talk through their thoughts and stuff. And really, by the way, this is kind of just a joke. Anyone who does want to pop on and chat with us, we'd love to have your voice on the episode. We'd love to read your comments, whatever it might be. So send us a transmission to StarWarsHangout77@gmail.com or over on Instagram. You can DM me. Even if it's just like a list of people who wanted to say, hey, it was great, or I didn't like this, or I did like that, we'll read through all those different comments. I'm going to put something out there on the YouTube as well, just to kind of collect, again, more comments that we can follow up on our Saturday edition. So we'll try to do those either Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. That'll be our follow-up day where we're going to either go live or we're going to hang out with our council members and do a follow-up episode for you guys. So be sure to get in your thoughts, your predictions, all that good stuff, and we will reference and give you a shout-out here on the podcast. So
Sounds good,
guys. Okay, we're writing out right now. Okay. All right, and if by the way, don't forget to check out Shell Cottage Radio, where we talk about all things Harry Potter. Don't forget to check out An Unexpected Podcast, where we talk about all things Lord of the Rings. Click on my link tree. It has links to all my different stuff over the years. You guys can go find it. It's great. It's fun. So I think that's it. Anything else?
Your bright tree link.
My bright tree link. Make sure you go find it. All right. Hey, we appreciate you guys. We got to get to work, though.
Yeah.
Let's go. All right.
Let's go. Guys, have a good day.
Yeah. All right. Have a great day. <I don't know. laughs> Hey, you know what? I think we should say, and instead, we always say, may the force be with you, but I think we should say, this is the way. I have spoken.